Yes, indeed.
Great testimonies tonight, and a blessing to know that Sister Ellie's grandson is preaching at a Baptist church up the road here tonight. Oh, I just love it. The Lord keeps on calling young men to preach, and that's what we need in these final days. Well, folks, let's grab our hymnals tonight for our final hymn. Good singing. We're going to open up to 164, and we'll stand for our final hymn tonight. Great service this morning, by the way. Those of you who were here, we preached on why Pentecost. Why Pentecost? And we found out from the Bible all about why the importance and necessity of the day of Pentecost, where the power came. Amen? And that same power is in us today, 2,000 years later. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for Pentecost, there'd be no church. If it wasn't for Pentecost, there'd be no power, no spreading of the gospel worldwide. It's the miracle-working power of God, His Holy Spirit. So, in 164, this is one of our favorite hymns. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. And we're so grateful for the words to this hymn, Amazing Grace, John Newton wrote. Love that piano.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Now I see, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious deed that grace appeared. First believed, when weeping there's 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know this is to see God's praise.
Praise the Lord, people. Please be seated. And great singing tonight for Sunday night. Thank you for coming out to the house of the Lord. And what a blessing this week just walking with Him. Oh, one announcement, folks. This coming, actually, it will be 2 weeks from tonight. We'll be celebrating the Lord's table in our evening service, the first Sunday of March. We'll be celebrating the Lord's table. We're due for that. Always a special time gathering around the table of the Lord. Well, let's grab our Bibles today at this time, people. Remain seated and open up to the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter 8. A most incredible passage of the Bible. Is Proverbs chapter 8, as you know right well. And as we approach this chapter tonight, let me just say right off the bat that we find a personage in this chapter. And this personage is known as Wisdom Personified. Wisdom Personified is my message tonight. And we're going to see very quickly who this personage is. Look with me tonight in Proverbs chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Proverbs 8 and verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Now, he's going to go down here to verse 2, 3, 4, all the way down to verse 22, describing this divine personage, wisdom, personified. Verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. I want to speak to you tonight, beloved, on wisdom personified. Father in heaven, how we thank you for Proverbs chapter 8. And Lord, I am so grateful for the everlasting depths of Scripture. Lord, I am so grateful that they reveal the personage of the Son of God throughout. Lord, every book of the Bible is about Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. And Lord, we're just so thankful that Jesus was there before anything was made, because he was God, he was with God, and he is God. Lord, I am so thankful for this particular passage tonight. May we glean some glorious truths from it, and as a result, draw closer to Jesus. Father, by your Holy Spirit, bless us tonight as we preach and learn more of wisdom personified through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, God's wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a universal call to all mankind. And God the Father wants every single person to answer that call and to come to his Son. Though they won't. Now, God, through his dear Son, by his Holy Spirit, is continually, night and day, reaching out to the lost souls and pleading with them to come to this wisdom personified of Proverbs chapter 8. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, this means that they might have life everlasting, instead of eternal separation from him by coming to him. Now, tonight I want to give you quickly 20, don't worry, I'll be quick, 20 personal acts of wisdom personified that I see in chapter 8. 20 individual, incredibly personal acts of wisdom personified. 20 things that the Lord is doing in order to bring sinners to him for salvation. And he does them right well. Look with me here in Proverbs chapter 8, and the first thing I want you to notice that he does is that wisdom personified cries out. He cries out. Look with me in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry? Now, beloved, every time you see the word wisdom in chapter 8, it's speaking about a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Look what he says. First of all, doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. Verse 3. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. What the Solomon, the king, is saying here is that wisdom is continually crying out to mankind. Amen? Continually reaching out and saying, come to me. I will give you rest. I will receive you unto myself if you'll only come. I'll wash away all of your sins. The first thing tonight, and I like it, is that wisdom cries to the sons of men. It's a beautiful thing. Imagine if he gave up on us and never cried to us, never reached forth to us. We'd be lost forever. I'm thankful that wisdom personified cries out. But secondly tonight, Wisdom personified stands. Look at verse 2. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. What's that mean? Listen carefully. According to verse 2, this personage divine stands crying and waiting for anyone who will respond. Notice it says in verse 2, it stands in the top of high places. He's very high. And by the way, he wants to bring you up to him. He wants to bring us up out of sin. He wants to bring us up out of the world and the flesh and the devil, right? So he stands in a very high place. And it says, Lord, notice verse 2, by the way, in the places of the paths. What are the paths? What's this mean? The paths are your decisions in life. The paths you're going to take. And Jesus Christ stands there and says, take my path. Come my way. You'll never regret it. I love it. Wisdom personified cries out. Wisdom personified stands. Another thing about his standing, he'll stand for you and me. I'm glad of that. Thirdly, wisdom personified calls out. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Unto you, notice who he calls to. Unto you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of man. He's not reaching out to alien beings on another solar system. There aren't any as far as I know. But he's reaching out to you, O sons of men. I call. My voice is to the sons of man. In other words, God is continually speaking to man. Continually calling. Notice the word call. Calling out. But how few respond to his call? Isn't it odd? You would think that we would be the majority tonight. Those of us who've answered the call of God. But we're not with a minority. Because most of this world tonight, people, are in darkness. And they refuse the call of Jesus Christ. How sad. Wisdom personified calls out. But fourthly tonight, wisdom personified speaks. He speaks. Look at verse 4 again. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice, this person has a voice, is to the sons of men. Look at verse 6. Here, there's one thing, time out, church. There's one thing that this personage wants from you and me. He wants us to hear. He wants us to hear his voice. By the way, he said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Amen. Verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. He's got such great things to show us. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. Aren't you sick and tired of politicians lying to you? I've got good news. This personage will never lie. He speaks right things. He speaks excellent things. Drop down to verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain, that's easy to understand, to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. He says, everything that comes out of my mouth is the right thing to say. Oh, how I wish I could say that. Jesus has never had to take back something he said. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I misspoke. Nope. If you have a King James Bible in your lap tonight, you've got the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in your hand. Amen? And everything in his word is right. Woo! That'll preach. Everything in his word is right and excellent. I love that word. Verse 8, all of the words of my mouth are in righteousness. How could anybody refuse someone who is always right? Always right. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. He's always right. Wow. He speaks. Notice that. He speaks, verse 4, unto you, O sons of men. Verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. The question tonight, church, is do you want to hear his voice? Oh, how we need it in our daily lives, the voice of the Lord. He'll direct us if we let him. But fifthly tonight, wisdom personified reproves. Oh, here's a necessary one for every one of us. Wisdom personified reproves. Verse 5. Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom. He's saying, understand me. And ye fools, that's foolish persons, be ye of an understanding hot. Now, what in the world does he mean by those two statements in verse number 5? He's saying that something is amiss, something is wrong, and it needs to be corrected. You know what reproof means? Reproof means to correct. Reproof is to correct something amiss. And he says, I will correct, I will reprove whatever is amiss in your life. But he says, you're a fool if you don't listen to me. Isn't that true? People are so foolish. They don't want to listen to God. And he's got all the answers. He's got all the answers. Why? Because he's a reprover. And I need reproof in my life. When I go wrong, when I do something, I need reproof from my Lord to get me back on that right path. Amen? It may be a misspoken word. It may be a mistreatment of a person. It may be it's just a white lie. There's no such thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie. And we need to be reproved. We need to be corrected. And he does this for us, verse 5. Look at that. Understand wisdom. Be of an understanding heart. What's that mean? It means when he corrects us and shows us from his word and by his spirit the right way, we make reparation of what's wrong in our life, right? Something else, though. Wisdom personified abhors sin. That word abhor, don't let it confuse you. It simply means hates. Hates sin. Wisdom personified abhors sin. Verse 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Abomination, that word means a detestable, hateful thing. He says wickedness, sin, is a hateful thing. It's an abomination. Why? Because wisdom personified hates sin. I didn't say he hates the sinner. He loves the sinner. He died for the sinner. But he hates the sin that's destroying them. Oh, my daughter told me this week she came in contact with some wayward drug addicts, you know, heroin type stuff. And they had no teeth and they needle tracks up and down their hands and arms. And she said, Dad, that was so sad. I just, my heart broke, you know. And I'll tell you what, God abhors the sin of drug addiction, but he doesn't abhor those poor people. He loves them. He loves them. And they need him. They need him. But remember, folks, our God abhors sin. Something else, wisdom personified, seventh, wisdom personified admonishes. Look at verse 10. Receive my instruction, that's my admonishment, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. The Lord says here in verse 10 that he's got something more valuable to you than gold and silver. You know those things that men covet after, that covetousness for riches and gain and financial, and they want jet airplanes and they want all this material possession. God says, I got something much better for you. Look at it. Verse 10. Instruction. But whose instruction is? Look at it. My instruction. Wisdom personified. He says, receive my instruction. Not silver. My knowledge rather than choice gold. This book that I hold in my hand is more valuable than all the gold at Fort Knox. All the gold on planet Earth. Why? Because it is the word of God and it is eternal. That gold will rust and rot. It'll burn. It'll melt. It'll be gone. But the word of God abideth forever. So he admonishes us. He admonishes us to receive his instruction and his knowledge. Verse 10. Something else. Wisdom personified searches. I like this. Look at verse 12. I, wisdom. Who is this? Whose wisdom? Jesus Christ, right? I'm going to show you that before we're done. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now, I wonder who it is that would come up with witty inventions to trip you up in your Christian life. Oh, yeah, that'd be the devil. That's right. The devil always wants to trip us up. He comes up with witty inventions, right? He's had a lot of time in doing it, and he's very good at it. But folks, wisdom personified searches that out and reveals it to us so we don't get tripped up by him. Look at it, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. All right, let's dissect this verse. I dwell with prudence. What's prudence? What is prudence? Prudence is discretion. Prudence says, I shouldn't be here, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't drink that, I shouldn't smoke that, whatever it might be. That's prudence. He says, I dwell with prudence. That's good. And I find out knowledge, that's information, of witty inventions. Anything that might trip you up, he knows about it, and he knows how to prevent it. Why? Because wisdom personified searches out. He searches out things that we need to avoid. Isn't that good? Wisdom personified something else. Ninth, wisdom personified hates evil. You need to grab a hold of this verse. Look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Time out, church. Don't answer out loud. Do you hate sin tonight? Do you hate the devil? Do you hate evil? Because God does. He hates it. He hates it with a passion. Why? Because it cost him his son's last drop of blood. That's why. Verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward heart. The froward meaning hateful. Mouth do I hate. Who's talking in verse 13? Somebody? Wisdom personified. The second person of the Godhead. Look at it says the last three words. I do hate. You know that God hates certain things? Yup. He hates rebellion. He hates witchcraft. He hates anything that would destroy the soul of man because he created us after his image. He hates evil. And that's simply what he's saying in verse 13. I hate evil. He knows that evil destroys families. Evil destroys company. Evil destroys. It's a destroyer. One of the names of Satan, of bad Napoleon, destruction. Wisdom personified, something else. Wisdom personified counsels. Counsels. Look at verse 14. What's that first word? Counsel is mine. And sound wisdom, I am. Oh, this is good. He didn't say I have understanding. He didn't say, I'll give you understanding. I am understanding. I have strength. Whoever this is talking, you and I need them. You and I need them because wisdom personifies counsels. He counsels. You know what, folks? You don't need a Christian therapist. You don't. You don't need Dr. Phil or Oprah or any of these others. You need wisdom personified. He's got counsel for you that will never steer you wrong. He's got counsel for you that will keep you on the narrow path. He's got counsel for you that will lead all the way to the pearly gates and streets of gold. I love that in the middle of verse 14. I am understanding. I am. Oh, man. How many times do we see these words coupled with the Lord Jesus Christ? I am. I am. I am. Yes, indeed. He gives great counsel, the best you can get. Anywhere. Oh, something else. 11th, wisdom personified advises. He advises. Look at verse 15. 15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Wait a minute. Did he just say what I think he said? Yep. Yep, he said, they're only in positions of leadership because I allow them to be so. Amen? Jesus Christ is sovereign, folks. He is providential. He is ruling and reigning the entire universe. And he says, when you've got somebody in a position of authority, a position of leadership, look at the first two words of 15 and 16. It's by me. By me. He is the one. Why? Because he advises. He gives advice. Look at it. Look at it again. Verse 15 and 16. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. You know what he's saying there first in verse 15? He's saying that leadership will judge righteously by me. That is, if they listen to me. The first two words are the key. 16. By me, there it is again, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. He says if they're doing a good job, he says it's because they're doing it by me. They're taking my advice, my counsel, and they're ruling in righteousness. Why? Because he gives the very best advice to all classes of people on planet Earth. Something else, though. Wisdom personified loves. He loves. Look at verse 17. Love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Ooh. I am so glad tonight, beloved, that God loves you. He loves you, he loves me, and we love him back, don't we? But we love him. Is that the end of the verse? No. Because he first loved us. We loved him. Now, folks, let me make a statement. He says, I love them that love me. We would never have come to a place of love to the Lord like we have. That's why we like getting together as a church family. We would never have that if God didn't first love us and send his son to demonstrate that love. Love must be demonstrated. You can say, I love you, I love you, I love you all day long, and walk out the door and never do anything for that person. We have to show our love, and God shows it in so many ways, every day, in every way. He's blessing us and loving on us. It's a beautiful thing. Why? Because wisdom personified loves. It's his greatest attribute. God is love. He's love. And he teaches us not only to love him, but to love others. Something else, 13. Wisdom personified leads. Oh, how we need this one. Look at verse 20. He leads. I lead in the way of righteousness. Not in the wrong way, but in the right way. In the midst of the paths of judgment. That's how he leads. In the right paths. The paths of judgment, the paths of righteousness. He says, I want to take you by the hand, and I want to lead you through your life on earth. And he will. All we need to do is let him by his Holy Spirit and word. He's a leader. You know what a leader's supposed to do? He's supposed to lead. That's right, not rocket science. He's supposed to lead. And he's the greatest leader that's ever been. Jesus Christ. What did he say to his disciples? Follow me. Follow me. Oh, I'm so glad we can follow his leading, church, tonight. We're blessed. We are so blessed. But something else about wisdom. Wisdom personified blesses. Woo! Look at verse 18. 18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable. That means forever. Riches and righteousness. Whoa. Time out. Before we continue reading. Did he just say that he has righteousness for you? Yep. That's what he said. In verse 18, he wants to make you righteous. Wow. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. And my revenue. He's got riches. Revenue means riches. My revenue better than choice silver. What he's got to bless you with is so much greater, so much better than what the world has to offer. 21. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. That's substance, something that will subsist, something that will continue on to eternity. And I will what? Fill their treasures. Oh, man. This great wisdom personified, this guy, whoever he is, he wants to make me rich forever? Yep, that's what he said. And he will, if we let him. If we let him, he will fill our treasure. Now, folks, don't go thinking about hitting the lottery. Don't be thinking about, the bank account, your savings and all that. He's not talking about money, though it's included. He's talking about spiritual treasures. Verse 21. You'll be filled with them. Why? Because wisdom personified blesses. He loves to bless his people. He really does. You know, God is a giver. And over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the last verse says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable, indescribable gift. of his son, Wisdom Personified. Something else. Not only does he bless, Wisdom Personified rejoices. Oh, I like this. Did you know that you can make him rejoice? Look with it. In verse 30, he's talking about the creation of the world, the universe, everything in it. And he says, then, Wisdom speaking, I was by him. Now, according to our script, the Bible in the New Testament, who was with God when he made everything? Jesus Christ. We know who we're talking about. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. I want you to notice something in verse 30. Wisdom personified rejoices. He was rejoicing because he was with the Father forever, eternity past. Totally, totally content, totally self-sufficient. He didn't need us. He didn't need to make this planet. He didn't need to create anything else because he had perfection forever with him and his Father and his Spirit. Right? But look what he says in verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. He says there was one thing throughout all of eternity that God the Father rejoiced in and delighted in, and it was me. What a statement Wisdom Personified makes here. He says, I rejoice with the Father, and he rejoices with me. You know why? There was nothing lacking in either one. They were both eternally perfect without us. Sometimes we get to thinking we're so important to God, and sometimes we get to thinking we're so high and mighty, and we're nothing without him. Oh, beloved, he rejoices, and he rejoices with you and me. But something else, Wisdom Personified, 16, delights. He delights. Look at verse 31. Verse 30 says, I was daily his delight, 31, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Wow. I love verse 31 because Jesus said that he delights in the sons of men. He delights to fellowship with you. He delights to walk with you. He delights to protect you from that old devil. He delights in you. He delights in you. Do you delight in him? Oh, I'm so glad that Wisdom Personified delights. Something else he delights in. He delights in righteousness. He delights in sanctification. He delights in the things of God with you and me. Wisdom Personified delights. But something else. Wisdom Personified builds. That's number 17 if you're keeping count. Wisdom Personified builds. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom, now we already said who that is. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Notice here in verse number 1 of chapter 9 that this Wisdom, capital W, personage builds things. You know what your Savior is? He's a carpenter. He's a divine carpenter. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, can you imagine our mansions in heaven that he's been working on for 2,000 years? He made the universe, all things therein, the world and everything that breathes in 7 days. Six. Because he rested on the seventh. He's been working on our heaven for 2,000. You can't imagine what your future holds, church. I'm so glad tonight that he's a builder. Wisdom Personified builds. But something else. Wisdom Personified feeds. I like this. He feeds. Look at chapter 9, verse 2. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She also hath furnished her table. Do you want it, church? Because if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, he's got good things for you. He's a feeder. He's a feeder, and a good shepherd always feeds his sheep, right? He said, I lead in green pastures, and we feed in those pastures. I am so thankful that this divine personage feeds me daily. Feeds me. He feeds me with the holy manna from heaven, called the Word of God. He feeds us. How we need spiritual nutrition, folks. Let me ask you a question. Do you eat? Everybody's hand is up. Oh, Pastor, we like, matter of fact, we're going to Burger King in a minute. Yeah, because you get hungry. But we need to eat the things of God that He wants to feed us. So many times we close our mouths and say, I'm not hungry, Lord. Oh, how we need to consume what He feeds us with. It's good stuff. But something else, 19th. Wisdom personified plans. He plans. Look at verse 3. She had sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Why? Why is he doing that? Wisdom personified in verse 3 has a plan. And he's sending out ambassadors to bring certain ones in to be part of his plan. You see that? Notice the strategy in verse 3. Send forth maidens. Crieth upon the highest places of the city. What are they crying? Oh, something like, come to the banquet! All things are prepared! Come enjoy a great feast with us, with wisdom personified. That's what she's crying. It's part of his plan, folks, to send you and me. And we can be a personal part of his plans. Isn't that beautiful? I love the fact that little Bob Oliver, who was a nobody, could become a part of God's plans? Wow, that's a great person right there that he allows us to be a part of his plans. He loves to work through us. But 20, finally, wisdom personified invites. Look at chapter 9, verse 4. Wisdom crying out to the world. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Wisdom personified in verse 4, 5, and 6 is inviting whosoever will come to come. Oh, I love that. Look at verse number 5 again. Come, all ye Asian people. No. Come, all ye Aussies. No. Come, all ye Europeans with white skin and strange eyes. No! Come all. He's inviting the world, folks. Skin color doesn't matter to him. He's colorblind. Come, eat of my bread. Drink my special concoction, my spirit, you'll love it. Folks, have you accepted wisdom's invitation? Look at chapter 8 again for a moment. Look at verse 32. Here's an invitation that you're going to love. Now, therefore, ye hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Folks, in closing tonight, it gets a little bit serious. Because the one final thing that wisdom personified says to this world is that if you reject my call, if you reject my love, if you reject my life everlasting that I offer you, you love death and you will have eternal death. What is the biblical definition of death? Separation from God. It's separation from God. How sad that wisdom calls to the sons of men, all of them, says you're blessed if you hear me, you'll be have eternal life if you find me, you'll be favored by my Father as his special ones. And yet they put up their hands and say, no thank you, wisdom, I'm not interested. Oh, beloved, tonight the time is so short. The time is so short, and we need to be busily inviting them to the King's table. You know about wisdom teeth? Your wisdom teeth in your mouth? Wisdom teeth are those teeth at the extreme end of the jaws, which do not make their appearance until persons have come to the years of discretion. So, when persons say or do silly things, the remark is often made to them that they have not yet cut their wisdom teeth or reached the years of discretion. God wants to give you spiritual wisdom teeth. To every single soul that will accept his invitation through wisdom personified, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give you wisdom teeth, spiritually speaking. All mine are gone. I got them all four out in one day. But I've got spiritual ones, and they work real good. They work real good, because God gave them to me. Amen? He wants to give you wisdom teeth. Now, have you come to this wisdom personified in your life? Have you received your spiritual wisdom teeth? But because only Jesus Christ can give you the wisdom of God. In closing, go with me to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll finish up here. Oh, church, I've got good news tonight. Wisdom personified is identified for us clearly in the New Testament. Look at it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look with me at verse 22. Here he is. In full glory, verse 22, we read, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." That's not God's wisdom. That's worldly wisdom. Plato, you know, all those philosophers of old. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." He's the wisdom of God. He is wisdom personified. And he is my wisdom. And he is your wisdom. It's Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is wisdom personified. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for wisdom personified. We thank you that we know who he is. His name is Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I'm so thankful that Christ Jesus is made unto us sanctification and redemption and wisdom and righteousness. We are so grateful, Lord, that we know who he is. We're so grateful that there was a day in our lives when we heard his voice and we answered affirmative, "I will accept your invitation. I hear your call. I hear your voice, and I come to thee, Lord Jesus." I thank you for tonight, Lord, and I thank you that your word is so crystal clear in Proverbs chapter 8, that, Lord, you were with the Father when all things were created. In fact, he created all things through you, Lord Jesus, the wisdom of God. We love you tonight, and we thank you for the precious blessings of your word. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will stand and have a song of invitation tonight. If you need, the altar is open, praise God. Perhaps you need a little more wisdom. Whatever it might be, the Lord has what you need. Oh, yes, indeed. Hymn number 134. Hymn 134. This wisdom will give you a blessed assurance in your daily life. Yes, indeed. First and second, we'll sing for the invitation. Therefore, if you need to do business with the Lord, do it quick. Yes, indeed. Danny Crosby.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. O God of grace, the glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, praising my Savior.
The Lord, we can praise Him all day long. Amen? There's no reason in the world why we can't. Lord, I thank You tonight so much for the message this morning. Why Pentecost? We found out from Your Word, Lord, why there was a day of Pentecost and what it all means for us today. Thank You for that, Lord. And then tonight we saw wisdom personified in the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for that tonight, Lord. Thank You that You're all we need. Thank You, Lord, that You have rich nutriment for us day in, day out by the Word of God, fed by the Spirit of God. Thank You, Lord. And thank You, Lord, one last thing, for being our wisdom. Thank You for leading in paths of righteousness. Thank You for giving good biblical counsel to every one of us, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit and Word. Thank You, Lord, that as long as we follow Your advice and Your leading, we cannot go wrong. We love You tonight, Lord, and we pray. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord, the world is getting worse and worse and worse. People are dying all over the place, and we need You to come back and straighten it all out, Lord. We look forward to the time of the millennium. We'll be Your servants in the kingdom of our Savior. We're thankful that You'll rule this world in righteousness for 1,000 years, O God. And Lord, we thank You that we will spend all of eternity in the presence of the King. Oh, what a future we have. Thank You that You're a builder and You're building special things for us even now. We love You tonight. Bless us as we're dismissed. And Lord, use us this week for Your honor and glory to bring souls to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Wednesday night at 7, if you're able.